If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, and starting with verse number 31. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Praise God. If you're there, say amen. Amen. We need to be doing some sword drill with these young people. All right. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31 says, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If you would help me pray tonight, let's ask for God's anointing on this service. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you, God, for your word today, Lord. We thank you, God, for the ability, Lord, and the opportunity that we have to come into this house, Lord, and to draw close to you, God. We thank you for the truth of your word, God, and we ask that you would anoint it to every heart, every life, every need, every situation in this house tonight. We'll be sure to give you the thanks and the praise. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. The word seek in that verse that we read, verse number 33 here, if we look that up in the original, it actually, the definition that it gives, and I thought this was very telling, it means to desire, it means to endeavor for, or to seek after. Amen. Excuse me. All right. Praise God. It means to desire. It's something that we desire. Seeking is something that the Bible talks about many, many times. If you look at these words and all of these definitions, these words are not in past tense. Okay? It's not something that we have done. It's not something that we do only when we first come to God, but rather something that we continually do. Seeking is not something that we have done before, but seeking is something that we do day by day, every day, throughout the day, several times through the course of a day. We do it daily, we do it weekly, we do it yearly. It's something that we will continually do, is to seek. We need to seek him when we first get in church, but we also need to seek him, as Brother Pearson was preaching about, on our last day of work. We still need to be seeking the Lord before we check out of this life, before he calls back his church, or before we are called to meet with him. We need to still be seeking after him. First Chronicles, and I've got several scriptures here, so I'm just going to read them quickly. If you want to write them down, you can go back and look at them. But 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 11 says, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands." Psalms 27 and verse 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Psalms 119 and verse 2 says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Amen. And these are just a few of the countless number of verses in the Bible that talk about the importance of seeking after the Lord. All throughout the Word of God, his children are told to seek after God. Obviously, as I was reading through some of these, most of you could probably quote some of these. Most of you have heard these or recited these or you memorized these. There's something that has stuck with you. But as I was preparing for the service, I couldn't help but to think of the childhood game of hide and seek. You know, most of us have played it. I would think everybody here, maybe you younger ones, don't play those kind of games anymore. Is there an app for that? Is there hide and seek? Yeah, I'm just kidding. But most of us have played hide and seek. I know when I was a kid, and yes, to answer the questions that may have arisen in some of your minds, I was a kid at one time. But when I was a kid, I played this game a lot. I played hide and seek a lot. When I was young, we didn't have electronics. We didn't have things to distract us. So we went outside and we played. And one of the main games that we played was hide and seek. And I have a lot of fond memories of playing this game. We had a lot of fun. I don't know how you guys did it, but when I was growing up, and obviously times are a little bit different, but when I was growing up, we would have all the kids in our neighborhood, probably about a two-block radius area of all the kids around our age. You know, I was probably anywhere. I moved there out of there when I was 10, but you know, I was younger than 10. But a wide range of ages, and we would all come together. And I don't know how, but our backyard was where we would always play. And we would get everybody together, and everybody knew the rules. One person would bury their hand or their face in their hand, or they would bury their face up against the house, and they would begin to count, and everybody would disperse. And everybody would try to go find a good hiding place, a place where they wouldn't be found. Amen. And they would count down, and when the countdown was done, then their job, their goal, the person who was it was their place to go and find somebody that was hiding, find the people that were hiding. Now, we kind of played it maybe a little bit differently than you did. It was kind of a game of hide-and-seek slash tag, because once you found somebody, you had to tag them, and whoever you caught first was it. So if you didn't find anybody, then you had to be it again. Amen? Amen. Stick with me tonight. All right. So what would happen is that everybody would find the very best hiding place that they could. And some people were better at it than others. As boys, and it was all guys that were playing this game, boys would not leave well enough alone to just hide in the places that were convenient, but we would end up in trees, or I remember being on top of the roof of our garage, and what you would do is you would wait until the person went around the corner to go by, and then you would jump off the roof and take off and make it to home base, because if you made it to base, then you were safe, and you got to hide again the next time. And this would continue on until one person after another would reach it, or until the person who was hit would find or would catch somebody and tag them, and that was the end, and then that person had to count down. Okay, I know I'm not telling you guys anything you haven't ever heard of. Okay, I'm recollecting. I'm taking a trip down memory lane, if you will. But if you were the person who was hit, you didn't want people to make it back to the base without you getting a chance to tag them. Nobody wanted to be it again. Nobody wanted to continually be it. No one wanted to find themselves in that position again. And so you were determined. If you were it, you were determined that you were going to find somebody, and that you were going to catch somebody and tag them before the end of that round. Amen. As I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, that's the type of attitude that needs to carry on with us as we get a little bit older. That determination. The attitude of seeking with determination. Of seeking with a purpose. Not just looking haphazardly or lackadaisically, but looking with a purpose. Not giving up. Not slowing down until we find exactly what it is that we're looking for. Amen. When we seek after God, we need to do it with the same type of effort that we did when we were trying to find our friends in hide and seek. Amen. It's not a take it or leave it type of searching. It's not a take it or leave it type of seeking that, you know, you look around this corner and, you know, you don't find anybody. Or, oh, well, I guess I'm not going to find anybody. And you just give up. And you just decide, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to be it. And you just yell, I'm going to count again. I'm going to start counting again. Don't even worry about it. But no, you didn't give up easily. If you didn't find him in all the easy spots, you started checking some harder spots. You know, you started looking inside the doghouse instead of just behind the doghouse. Because there might have been that one little skinny kid that actually could fit through the door of the doghouse. I did that before. Amen. You started looking up in the trees or on the roof lines. You started looking in the unobvious places. You started pulling, you know, the sheet of plywood away from the wall in case somebody might have tucked in behind there. You looked in places that kids couldn't even fit in just to make sure that you had checked every single spot. Because you were determined. You were determined that you were going to find what it was that you were looking for. Amen. When we search for God, we need to have that same type of determination. That we're going to find Him no matter what. Amen. I've got to find Him. Is God over here? Is He over here? I'm not finding Him over here. So I'm going to go look over here. If I don't find Him over here, I'm going to look under here. Is He up there? And that's the type of mentality that we need to have. I know for me, and maybe you can say amen tonight, but over the years of living for God, I've had to modify the way that I seek for the Lord. And what I mean by that is, sometimes when you're praying, and I know you can say amen tonight, sometimes when you're praying, you pray for a couple minutes, and you begin to feel the presence of God falling upon you. And you don't, it's almost as if you don't even have to try to search very far, and God's right there, right in front of you. You didn't even have to work for it. But then there's times when you're praying, and you may pray for 15 or 20 or 30 minutes or even an hour. And you're like, God, where are you? God, I don't feel your presence, Lord. God, I want to find you. And so if this doesn't work, then you try something different. You know, all I can speak is for myself and my experience. There's been times where I'll walk around and I'll pray over here and I'll pray over there and I'll go to the back and I'll pray. And I can't feel after God and I'll kneel down at the altar and I'll pray. Or I'll kneel down at a pew and I'll pray. And if I can't feel Him, it's not good enough. I can't just keep going in the same direction and not get any results. And so I'll just keep pressing. I'll try something different. I'll try, you know, God, search out my heart. God, if there's something in me that's hindering me, that's keeping me from being able to feel your presence, God, reveal it to me, God. I want to take care of it right now. And I may end up with my face in the ground, with my face on the floor, seeking Him. But I've got to find Him. I've got to get into His presence. And I'll be the first to admit there's been times that I've gotten up from a prayer meeting and I haven't felt God that entire time. And because of schedule, because of time, whatever you want to call it, I've had to go and you get discouraged. And then you come back the next day and you try to seek after Him. And there's times, and I'm just telling you again from my experience, but there's times that it may go more than just one prayer meeting or 1 week or even a month. There's times that you'll go what seems like a dry spell where you don't feel the presence of God like you thought you should be, or you don't feel Him like you used to be able to. God, are you under here? God, are you hiding back behind here? God, I've got to find you. And we seek Him. But when we seek Him, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse 29, it says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him. If thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." It doesn't say you might find Him. But it says you shall, or you will, in our present day vernacular. And you know what? There's a qualifier there, though. It doesn't stop there. There's not a period after that word find Him. But it says you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. You know, there were times that when I was searching for a kid when I was playing hide and seek, you know, I had to dig and I had to push. And I had to move stuff aside, and I had to get stuff out of the way. And you know what? Sure enough, He was there the whole time. And you know, that's how God is. He doesn't go anywhere. But He's there the whole time. It's us that change. So it's us that has to be changing to try to find Him in different ways. You know, I was that way as a kid, and I'm not saying this to brag, but I had to find the most complex hiding place that I could. I mean, I would get in the garage, and I would climb and snake my way through stuff. I mean, there was no way anybody would ever find me. And I would ride it out for 3 or 4 or 5, 6 rounds. I could hear the kids playing, and I'd just stay in the same hiding place. You know, but eventually, I had to come out. I got bored. I was too high strung to be able to stay in the same place for too long. But you know what? If I would have stayed there, eventually somebody would have found me if they looked hard enough. The scripture that we read at the beginning, however, goes beyond this. It says, don't just seek. It says, seek ye first. The word first in the original, if you look it up, and I thought this was awesome. I've never really studied this out before, but it says firstly. I know that's profound. But it means firstly in time, in place, in order, or importance. Okay? It means before, at the beginning, chiefly, at the first, or first of all. That means that God desires for us to seek Him before anything else in this life. He desires for us to seek Him in time, the amount of time, above everything else in our life. He wants to be in order, first in order, of everything in our life. I'm not telling anyone anything you don't already know, but there are a lot of things in this life that are vying for our attention. There's a lot of things in life that are trying to keep us from being able to seek after God. Things like our jobs. Things like our cars and our possessions. Things like our hobbies and our families and our friends even. I'm not condemning any of these. Please don't misunderstand me. These are very much a part of our life. What God is concerned about tonight, though, is where He ends up if we were to put all these things together in a list from 1 to 10. If we were to put these things in order of importance, in order of focus, in order of time, in order of whatever you want to plug in there. If we were to put these things in order, does God fall in the number one spot? Or is He down the list a little ways? Amen? Jesus told them, you're concerned about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear. Obviously, there were some ladies in this crowd. But He went on to say that God knows your needs. God knows that you have to go to work on your job to pay your bills. That's part of life. God knows that you have a family that's desiring your attention. God knows that you like to have a good time and that you like to have nice things. Those are all very normal parts of our life. God knows all of this. But He is still interested and still telling us here tonight that we need to seek Him first. God wants to be more important than all of the other things and even more important than the other people in our life. Well, that's not fair. I'm supposed to love my family. Absolutely. If you want to know how to love your family, fall in love with God, and He'll show you how to fall in love with your family. Amen. The scripture said that these things will be added unto us. All these are, the things we eat, the things we drink, what we're going to wear, these things are going to be added to us. We have to be careful, though, because as children of God, we get used to the blessings of God. And we are blessed. We're so very blessed tonight. But we have to be careful when these things are added to our life that they don't subtract away from our relationship with God and from our desire to seek Him and to keep Him in that first position. We have to evaluate the things in our lives and ask ourselves, does this or will this help me draw closer to God? Or is it going to pull me farther away? Whatever it is, if it's the job that you have, if it's drawing you farther away from God, pray that God will open the door for a different job.
That's right.
I'm not telling anybody to quit their job tonight. You need to seek the Lord for that. But I will tell you, if something is pulling you away from God, it's not healthy. If you have a hobby, and hobbies, there's nothing wrong with having a hobby, but if you have a hobby that is consuming more of your time than the time that you spend with God, then you need to reevaluate your hobby. You need to look at it. We need to look at it. I'm not preaching just to everybody out there, but you know, this is bouncing off and coming back at me, okay? Because this applies to every one of us. We have to evaluate everything in our life, and we want things in our lives that are going to help us to draw closer to God, or at minimum are not going to pull us away from Him. This means that when we have the choice to pray or to go play, that we put Him first. And you know what? I'm just being honest with you. That's a conscious decision. That's something that you have to decide each and every time. It's not something, oh, well, I'm going to do it. But every time that you're tempted to go and do something, and you're like, you know, I haven't talked to God today. Okay, hang on just a second. I need to go take a little bit of time to pray. Oh, well, you know, I can just pray when I get home. And then you get home and you're tired, you're worn out. And to be honest, we're flesh tonight. We get home and we get in our bed and we lay our heads down on our pillow and we realize, I haven't even talked to God today. I'm guilty of it. So what do? Do we just fall asleep? I'll pick it up tomorrow. No. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Means that when we have a choice to read our books or read our Bibles, that we put Him first. Means that when we have a choice to come to church or to go do something else, that we put Him first. Amen. If we are well enough to go to work, we're well enough to go to church. If you have the energy and the drive to go to the gym or to go play, we should have the same amount of energy to be able to come to church and have the same amount of stamina and energy for the kingdom of God and in worship. Amen. But church isn't, you know, church doesn't pay the bills. Going to church doesn't pay the bills. Well, you know what? I beg to differ.
Amen.
Going to church helps us draw closer to God. And you know what? That's the same God who allowed us to have the job that we have and provides for our every need. So I'll tell you what, if I'm going to miss anything, I'm going to miss work. I'm going to be in the house of God. Now, if you're running a fever and contagious, don't come. Please. Okay, if you do, come and get prayed for, and if God doesn't heal you on the spot, you need to go home. But I'm just being honest with us, okay? Too often, we have a little bit, you know, we have a little catch in our get-along, or we have, you know, a little, my toe is hurting, or, you know, I have a hangnail. I can't go to church tonight. And it's an excuse. And we convince ourselves that, there's no way I'd be able to focus if I went to church because I'm going to be focused on my toe. I'm going to be focused on my headache. I'm going to be focused on my back. I'm going to be focused on my ear. Whatever. Okay? If you're legitimately sick, I'm not talking to you tonight. Okay? But we know. We know. And we know whether we're sick enough to be in the house of God or not. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen. I'll give my wife the credit for this, but she said something that this has been a few months back, and it really stuck with me. She said, instead of, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it says, basically she said, instead of planning God around our lives and our schedules, we should plan our lives and our schedules around God and around the church and around the things of God. those are the things that need our priority.
Amen.
Those are the things that deserve our priority. And so if, you know, something comes up that, there's this, you know, event that I really want to go to. Well, when is it? Well, it's on Wednesday night. Sorry, I can't go. Well, why? It's just one time. No, I've got church. Well, you go to church 3 times a week. What's missing one time? I can't afford to miss one time. What if that one service is the one service that God wanted to talk to me about something? And I know that may sound cliche, and I know we say that, you know, we don't want to miss a service because God, but you know what? I don't want to chance it. I don't want to miss out on what God has for me. And even if he doesn't have a specific word for me, there's something that I can glean out of it. And there's something that it can do to change me and to build upon me and help me to draw closer to him. Amen. It needs to be a priority. It needs to be number one. Every single one of us are guilty here. Amen. We have all fallen short in some way, in all or some or all of these areas. Amen. That's because we're in a body of flesh. Amen. You know what? This body of flesh isn't interested in praying. You've got to make it pray. This old bag of bones isn't self-motivated to fast. In fact, when you do it, this old bag of bones will tell you that we're not doing this. And you may not ever eat breakfast, but on the day that you fast, by 8:45, you're about to die.
Amen.
That's how it works. Because this flesh does not like to be denied. This flesh does not like to be told no. But we have to. This flesh doesn't want to read our Bible. Oh, I've read it. I know what it says. So you know everything. So you've attained. So you're better than the Apostle Paul. He never attained. Amen. We will always have other things that if we allow them to, will take the place of the things of God. If you take away a time, if you set aside a time for prayer, there will always be something to take that time if you decide not to pray that day. Okay? There's always something that you can fill that time with. But like those other things, like I said before, is it something that's going to draw you closer to God? Or is it something that's going to pull you farther away from him? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul, who is probably, if not the most influential man in the New Testament, said this in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse 7. He said, "But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Paul understood that he had to seek after God and after God's righteousness.
Amen.
Did you know tonight that God isn't interested in my righteousness? He's not. He's not impressed with what I'm able to do by myself. He's not impressed with my talents and my abilities. He's not interested in my righteousness. In fact, the Bible says that our righteousness, it says it in the book of Isaiah, it says all our righteousnesses, everything we're able to muster, are as filthy rags. That's the very best that you and I are able to attain to. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble tonight. But the best that we can do is filthy rags before God.
Amen.
It's not our righteousness that we're seeking after, though. In the verse that we read, it says to seek him first and His righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 clearly shows us this or confirms this to us. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, it's not the things that we're able to accomplish by ourselves. Amen. We can get that mentality if we're not careful. We can get the mentality that, you know what, we're pretty good. You know, we've got it all figured out. We have a holy life, and I don't tell lies, and I don't steal, and I don't cheat, and I don't, you know, but we wouldn't be able to do any of those things if it weren't for the grace of God. Amen. And if it weren't for His Spirit living within us. It's not our righteousness. I don't not tell lies because of my own ability. I do my best to do that through God's grace and through His Spirit that He puts within me. Because when I tell, if I were to tell a lie, there should be something inside of me that doesn't jive with that, that doesn't sit well, that doesn't, I should be pricked in my heart, because God's not going to cohabitate with sin. And so if I've got God on the inside of me and I tell a lie, I should feel a prick in my heart. I should feel conviction. And then I've got to get it right. Because I want God to stay there.
Amen.
And I want Him to be renewed there.
Amen.
And if He's not there, I want to seek Him until I find Him. I want to look for Him no matter what it takes. I've got to get God. I've got to have His presence. I've got to have a renewing in the Holy Ghost. It's not an option. It's not something I can take it or leave it. But I've got to have Him. I've got to have Him, and I've got to have His righteousness. That means that I have not attained, but I'm striving. I'm pushing towards the mark. I'm striving to be more like Him. I'm striving to get the things out of my life that aren't pleasing to Him. You know, living for God, Brother Worth says it, is 99% attitude. But I believe along the same lines with that attitude, you have to have a willingness and an ability to be changeable and shapeable and moldable by God's hand.
Amen.
We cannot be so hard and so established in our ways that whenever God talks to us about something that we say, you know what, I'm good. I don't need that. But whatever it is, even if it's something you think you had figured out 9 to 30 years ago, if God begins to deal with you about it, yes, Lord. Whatever you've got for me, whatever direction you want to lead me, God, whatever you have for me, God, I'm sorry I allowed myself to go this direction. And we take a course correction and we veer back on the right path.
Right.
Amen. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? I have one more verse tonight as she comes. Jeremiah chapter number 29 and verse 11. This is a very familiar verse of Scripture. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek after me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart."
Amen.
Amen. That's how we need to seek after God.
Amen.
Amen. We need to do it just like, you know, everything that we do for God. We need to do it with all of our heart. Amen. We need to do it, you know, what did he say? With all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen. That doesn't just apply to how we love God. But that applies to how we seek Him. That applies to how we pray. That applies to how we worship. That applies in our praise. We do it with everything within us. We're not holding anything back. We can hold back on things in the world, but we don't want to hold back on the things of God. We want to allow God to, we want to give God our very best. I know that, I know we've said that, I know that's cliche, but it ought not to be cliche. It ought to spark us, it ought to spark something in us that whenever we're, you know, we're praising God and we're giving Him, you know, 85, 90%, but we got a little bit more that we can give. Well, I got to work tomorrow. You don't think God can give you strength for tomorrow? Well, if I lose my voice, I won't. You don't think God can heal your voice? I know that sounds funny, but don't you think God will honor it if you give Him everything you've got? I do. I think He will. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. And I wonder tonight if we can just lift our hands right where we're at. And let's take a moment. Amen. And let's seek after the Lord. And let's ask God to help us to seek Him with all of our hearts. To seek Him and to help us to get every distraction out of our minds. To help us to seek Him first in His righteousness. Amen. If we have any worries, if we have any distractions, let's just put them on the front porch tonight. And let's seek after God. Let's draw close to Him tonight. Thank You, Jesus. God, I love You today, Lord. God, I praise You today. God, I desire You. God, I want Your will tonight, Lord God. Lord, I've got to have You. I've got to have Your direction, God. I've got to have Your will, God. I love You, Lord, with my whole heart, God, with all that is within me, Lord God. I give You praise today. I give You thanks today, God. Lord, I want to put You first. God, I want You to be the first, God, in my time. God, I want You to be first, God, in everything that I do. God, I want You to be first, God, in my focus, God. God, I want You to be the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, God, and the last thing I think about before I go to sleep, God. God, I want You to be the most important part of my life. God, if there's anything that's taken that place, God, help me to get it out of my life. Help me, God, to reprioritize, God, and to get myself, my priorities in order, God. Lord, I want You to be first, Lord. God, I want to seek You above everything else in this world, God. I want to seek You, God, above every other distraction, God, that would come my way. God, I love You. God, I praise Your name today. Oh, God, I worship You. Can we give Him a hand clap of praise tonight? God, You're worthy. God, You're worthy.